The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
All right, I want to talk to Kate Gaffney from Mooin Creche in Ballincollig. There's a severe shortage of creche facilities and spaces everywhere, but a particular problem in Ballincollig. Kate, good morning.
Thank you so much, PJ, for having us on this morning.
You've had planning permission denied yet again.
Yes, so we just issued a statement just before because we knew it would be published on Cork City Council's planning website, and parents actually had been checking the website on a weekly basis, so we thought we would issue the statement in advance to let everybody know that unfortunately our planning had been refused again. I suppose it was a big blow for the community of Ballincollig because we had 380 people on the waiting list. The creche was going to cater for 96 kids and those people were due to start in September, and we had people up to 2027 with their names on the list.
Why has it been refused?
So it's kind of been refused for the same issues that it was being refused the last time. We felt like we addressed every single one of them. We thought it was a bit harsh that it was refused again and there was no queries or conditions or questions back from the planning department. One of those reasons was that we're not a standalone creche, that they want standalone creches in estates. Now, I'd just like to point out that Cork City Council themselves have a creche attached to City Hall that isn't a standalone creche. But that is one of the reasons that they've stated that we can't have a creche in Ballincollig. And I suppose for every what the law is, for every developer who wants to build 75 houses, they have to put in a childcare facility. Mm. But I suppose people listening in who might know from living in estates, they're the last thing to be built in those estates.
Yeah.
And then when you go to look at these buildings, they're unaffordable, they're shells, they want 800,000 plus VAT for these buildings. Then you have a disconnect, so you have nobody consulting with TUSLA on these buildings. So you go in, you look at the TUSLA regulations for ratio and square footage, and then they're not actually viable businesses by the time you fit them out. Like, I don't think you would see change of 1.2 million for these standalone ones that are coming up now. Yeah. In creches or in estates, sorry.
The waiting lists are years and years long already, years. And you've thousands more houses. I'm being told here between 5,000 and 10,000 houses will be going up in Ballincollig in the years to come.
Yeah.
And already there's a waiting list.
Yeah, Cork City Council's own strategic planning predicts that that Cork will be the fastest growing city in Ireland by 2040. Ballincollig, one of the fastest growing towns. They're due to have, in Ballincollig, 12,500 more people living there. And there is no, we lost the community preschool last year in Ballincollig. Heathfield in Ballincollig Estate have a WhatsApp group where I've been told that they are constantly talking about when can we open, because they've been waiting for a creche to open in that estate. And people are just devastated. People are travelling in Ballincollig up to 27 kilometres for childcare. One lady told me that she can't go back to work. Another family said they don't think that they will even have a second child because they can't get one child into childcare. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I think, you know, we just feel like there's a big disconnect. You have government, we got a couple of months ago, Minister O'Gorman sent an email to all the service providers, please expand your businesses. We will provide a capital grant. Please expand your businesses. We went away. We've spent €20,000 trying to get planning in Ballincollig. Myself and my business partner have not taken any money or salary out of the business since 2021 trying to expand.
Why would you keep? I ask this of people all the time, Kate. I do not understand why you would continue with a business where you and your business partner have been taking no salary for nearly 3 years. It doesn't make any sense. Why do you keep going?
Because we're in a lucky position that we have other jobs, but we genuinely believe that the service needs to be put into Ballincollig. We currently can see the demand in Ballincollig, and we don't see a reason why we shouldn't be able to open the creche in Ballincollig. And I suppose the other thing as well that people mightn't be aware of is at the moment there's hedge funds coming off from the UK They are looking at counties in Galway, Cork and Dublin. They're buying up childcare providers in those locations. And then you have small to medium businesses not able to even come near a hedge fund. And all those profits are going back then to the UK. Mm. So, like, we have this huge issue.
So is it a thing, do you think, Kate, that new estates that go up and they're supposed to have a provision for a creche for a certain number of houses, that they're saying when they're looking for planning, oh, yeah, we'll do the creche. That's no problem. We'll do the creche. It'll go over there. Then it never happens.
No, because I'm for whatever reason it doesn't happen, but they are unaffordable. Or when you actually get down to the nitty gritty of it, they are not viable businesses.
Yeah.
We looked at one creche a few years ago, and we estimated that you wouldn't see a return back for 15 years by the time you went through all the process of it, because you have to buy these buildings out. Whereas this building in Ballincollig that we're looking at, is we would be leasing it for 15 years. It makes it much more affordable for us to be able to do it. We're in a position that the landlord saw that, and had the foresight to see, look, if these guys go in, they'll be here for a long time. It's an office building, yeah. It's empty, and the mind boggles that it's been refused.
You could open one every year for the next 5 years in Ballincollig, and they'd all be full. And like we're told that we need more houses, and we do, and we're told that there's thousands of houses building, and the government will hit its target, and sure, they will. But the infrastructure doesn't seem to be there then, because all these young families will have no creches, no schools, no facilities. I'm also hearing, I don't know if you can tell me anything about this, there's some trouble in Scolloin, which is the primary school in Ballincollig. They're crying out for an ASD unit. There'll be a public meeting there. So places like Ballincollig, Kate, are growing, but the services aren't being put in to meet the growth.
Oh, absolutely. Places like Ballincollig are growing and they do not have the amenities. While I understand there is a housing crisis, we're now in the midst of a childcare crisis.
Yeah.
And all of these provisions that are being put into Ballincollig for housing is going to actually, with no amenities on the ground, no places, it's only going to end in social, like in another 15 years, you're going to have people in Ballincollig with nowhere to send their kids, nowhere to distract their kids, you know, which is going to lead to more antisocial behaviour and if you want to talk about another subject there.
Yeah. One leads to the other. I know you operate in Carrigaline as well. Is there a similar situation there?
No. So in Carrigaline, we are actually opening a preschool that took us 5 years to open in Carrigaline GA. So that took us five years to get that up and running. Because I suppose a childcare provider, we have local authorities that we have to answer to. And we also have TUSLA we have to answer to. So we have to make sure that the buildings that we're looking at are going to, first of all, meet planning. And then secondary, you're looking at, do they have an outdoor area? Will TUSLA have a problem that they're on the first floor? You have to try and anticipate what TUSLA are going to say as well.
Mm.
So it actually took 5 years to find somewhere in Carrigaline that was suitable, that we felt would pass a TUSLA inspection and also get planning permission. Mm. And that is the exact same. We have an after school in Castle West Shopping Centre at the moment in Ballincollig, but it's not suitable for a full-time creche because of TUSLA
standards,
regulations.
Yeah.
And that you need an outdoor area.
Yeah,
so
we
just feel like if we could have had a chance to come back this time, we could have answered some of the queries that have come back, because we feel like we really have addressed everything the first time around.
You've kids due to start with you. Come back to the nitty-gritty of it all, Kate. People due to start with you as far ahead as 2027. Are they going to be able to?
No, we don't know. We are meeting with our own consultants tomorrow, but like how long can you flog a dead horse? Do you know, like how, as you said, it's very difficult for a business owner to keep going. And I don't know, maybe 20,000 euro doesn't sound like much to some people, but it was a lot to us, and we've made a lot of sacrifices and sweat equity in our business to be able to apply for planning twice.
Is this going to be, we're 6 weeks out now, maybe less, 6 weeks out, I think, from local elections, European elections, and we're certainly much less than a year away from a general election. This going to be an election issue in Carrigaline and Ballincollig?
I definitely think so. I've already had people contact me saying that they're contacting their local representatives. I would ask people to email Roderick O'Gorman and ask him, you know, what is this disconnect you're saying? On one hand, open up. We want to help the parents. We want to help childcare. And then we have a disconnect with local authorities. And then on again, another disconnect with not checking TUSA regulations. So, you know, Roderick O'Gorman is at roderick.ogorma@oireachtas.ie. And I think the only way that this can be drawn into the public domain is to contact local representatives, is to get it highlighted. Like, whatever about our service at this point, the families on the ground are actually the ones that are living this day in and day out. People emailing us back saying, I could cry after getting this email. Our family life would have been so much improved from this. Like, it's grand sending emails asking people to open services, sitting in rooms going, I don't like the location of that. You know, at the end of the day, people are living it now, and it's actually a nightmare for some people.
Okay.
So if people want change, they're going to have to, you know, highlight it as much as they can now with the local people running for local elections.
Okay. Well, you said that you will continue to try to achieve this, and I wish you luck with that. Kate, thank you. Kate Gaffney of Muin Creche. Turned down yet again for development of Ballincollig. It's actually 50 days today. I was just looking it up. It's actually 50 days today to polling day in the local and European elections, and it will of course be an issue. 50 days out from the European and local elections, the 7th of June is polling day, and it is coming up on the doors, the subject of childcare. Councillor Colm Kelleher, you're canvassing, as I expect you would be. It's coming up. Good morning, Colm.
Good morning, PJ. Yeah, look, it's one of the major issues we're facing here in Ballincollig, and I suppose not just in Ballincollig alone, but across the city. Look, I suppose just to go back to the refusal, the second refusal of the West Point crash, it's perplexing, PJ, to be honest with you. You know, it fails people, the reality that people are actually facing in relation to childcare. And for a building that's in situ, ready to rock and roll, that would accommodate up to 100 people, 100 children, in a badly needed area that's, you know, deprived of childcare facilities at the moment. And the second application's just thrown out. I was aware of the first application, and I know there were questions that needed to be answered in it. And I know that they went back for a second bite of the apple at a substantial cost to themselves. And it was my understanding that they had addressed all the concerns in the first application. And I was actually expecting yesterday, when I found out yesterday morning through the grapevine that it was going to be refused, I was completely at a loss, like, you know.
Your own part.
Maybach, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Parties in government, Colm, what can you do about this?
Yeah, look, this is an issue that is coming up in the doors. And, you know, I mean, I am a member of Fianna Fáil, and my party is in government. And I know Roderick O'Gorman has issued, he's a member of the Green Party, and he has issued directives to increase the size of creches. But I think that there's a disconnect from local government and central government here. Like, this is a local government planning application that went into Cork City Council. And while they may, you know, feel they've made the correct decision, like, and ticking boxes, and, you know, it complies with the rules and regulations of a planning application, there's a complete disconnect from the actual reality. It's a typical case of putting the cart before the horse here, you know. Like,
is it a case of computer says no?
Completely, and it's box-ticking exercises, you know what I mean? And I'm, you know, obviously, you know, they have the right to appeal this now. That will go to import and all
that. But that'll cost the money and take forever.
Money, and it'll be 18, 24 months, and, you know, the board will more than likely say, yeah, Cork City Council ticked all the boxes. Like, it's perplexing. A building ready to go with a decent road infrastructure into it, one would have thought, like, you know, this is going to tick a load of boxes.
And Kate made a point as well, you know, and look, you're looking down the road at something that you don't want to happen, but you still have to think about it. There are thousands of houses due to go into Ballincollig, and rightly so. They're well needed, and they're well needed everywhere. All of those houses, or many of them anyway, will produce children. Those children will need a place to go. If you don't give the children the services they need when they're small, you'll end up down the road with a ghetto, full of antisocial behaviour from kids who didn't get a good start in life. We all know this, and yet it's happening.
100%. Oh, look, Peter was born and bred in Ballincollig. I can remember when it actually was a village, and like the expansion that's happened out over here over the last 20 years, and that is forecast to happen over the next 20 years, is no one's business. You know, we'll have an increase in population. We'll almost double in population over the next 25 to 30 years out here. And while it is a provision in any planning application that if it's above 74 units, they have to provide a creche. It was mentioned there previously, like, it's kick to touch. We'll build
Doing it for the planning. They're saying it for the planning. They're saying it to get the planning.
Exactly.
And who's following up on that then? Who's going to the developers and say, well, you know, we gave you planning permission for those houses. Where's the creche?
Some of the creches are being built, but they're vacant units, and the costs involved in taking vacant possession, of kitting it out, of bringing it up to standards with TUSLA, is just not financially
viable. Is it not then up to perhaps maybe the developer? We had a long talk yesterday about developers' profits, and we have to take that into account, what Michael Flynn said. But is it not fair to expect then of a developer who is going to make a lot of money out of building these houses and will provide the premises for a creche, that developer assist in funding its opening?
Yeah, maybe that needs to be looked at. I know that there's development contributions in any planning application, and the developer will have to, you know, provide the public realm, let's say, at footpaths and the streetlights around the place before it's handed over, taken in charge by the council. And the planning condition is that, you know, a creche be provided if it's over 74 units.
But should they not perhaps provide the first couple of years' lease as well?
You know, but what they're doing is they're building the houses. They're getting all the houses sold, you know, whether it be social, affordable, or private. And, we need more houses in Ballincollig, PJ. We do. Like, on the Maglan Strip, which is, if you drive along the Ballincollig bypass and look in towards the castle, we rezoned all of that in our city development plan for additional housing, badly needed housing. But, you know, we do need to make sure that the planning obligations are adhered to and met and implemented. Like, I got one email this morning from actually a constituent outside in the county. He emailed me, you know, he's only over the road in Ovens, but there's actually waiting lists for creches around the city and county, and they're charging a fee just to go on to
the waiting list. And a waiting list that you want.
And you've no guarantee you can get on to, no guarantee you'll get your place.
2027, 2028.
This is it, do you know what I mean? Like, and like, look,
you get a pregnancy test, you get a positive pregnancy test at 8:30, you're trying to get a creche place at 9:30. It's mad.
Yeah, and the following day you're booking a school place. So, do you know what I mean? We need, I don't know, like, this application is obviously refused. They do have an option to appeal it to the board. Like, I'm going to try and speak with the planners to see what their main vex or the concerns about, and say hopefully, you know, if they could be addressed in a pre-planning meeting put in place, and a fresh, possibly a third application, but that's more money.
That's more money, more time, more effort for people who are already not money, you know? They're not even taking a profit from their business. Colm, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much, Colm Kelleher, former Lord Mayor, Fianna Fáil councillor, and of course the election campaign underway. Ballincollig, it's a big issue. Thanks, Colm. On childcare and the creche in Ballincollig, can the creche owners now object to all new houses being built in Ballincollig. Turn the tables. It's one way of doing it. That's from John. Dara says, Hi PJ, my wife and I are expecting our first child this July. We've sent a number of inquiries for a place for childcare in 2025, all of whom have replied, sorry, we're booked out, and there's no availability for the foreseeable. It's at a point now when we've been advised we can't even be added to a waiting list, because they're full. Do Cork County and City Council need any more of a wake-up call? Now, that is from Dara. Now, Sarah, you also want to talk about childcare and about Ballincollig in particular. Good morning.
Morning, PJ. How's it going?
What's your own story?
We've also been struggling. My oldest is 2.5. She's been on some of the waiting lists since she was 8 months old, because at the time we weren't aware of all the issues. And when we started phoning around, people were like, why haven't you phoned us when you found out you were pregnant? And I'm going, why would you have thought of that when you're pregnant? You've got so much on your mind already, just in terms of trying to get ready for it. That's the last thing you'd be worried about, right, as a newborn. But that's the situation you're in. So she's been on the waiting list since she was about 8 months old. I called them again a couple of months ago. They can't even tell you when they foresee her getting in. There's other places where I've phoned, sorry, we're full. If you want to get on the waiting list, you can get on the waiting list, but you'd be looking at a 1 to 2 years wait before even potentially getting considered. There's others where they go, okay, well, we can put you on the waiting list, but there's a fee you need to pay just to get on the waiting list alone.
How much?
Some of the places are €50 as an application fee only. That's without a guaranteed spot. Then if they get a spot, they'd ring you back and say, okay, fine, we've got this spot for you, but if you want it, you need to pay 2 weeks worth of your what would be your monthly fees.
And here's the thing, Sarah, that place might be what, 2025, 2026?
Exactly.
You have to pay now.
Yes, exactly. That's the thing. They're saying, okay, well, we've got availability for you, but it will only be next year, September, not this year, September, or anything like that. And then by the time that comes around, my eldest would then be no longer needing the creche.
Yeah.
Or my youngest is only, obviously, she's only 6 months now, so for her it wouldn't be an issue. But then you've got two kids that you're paying for to get on the waiting list. Now that's just one creche that you're paying for. What about all the rest that you have to pay for? It adds up.
Of course it does.
And then there's other places. There's one particular school that's looking for a €200 deposit just to get on the waiting list, and that's without a guarantee of a position. And that's per child, PJ.
Yeah, it's an astonishing amount of money.
It's scandalous. Obviously, bear in mind, if it was a guaranteed spot, I'd happily give that to them. But without a guarantee, you're basically going, well, give it here. Maybe we'll have a spot for you. You're essentially donating €200 to the creche without knowing that you're going to get your child in there at all.
That's actually a very good point, Sarah, now that you put it that way.
And I mean, I've spoken to the teachers and the stuff, there's the staff that manage the applications, and they're going, look, I know it's dear and it is a lot, but we've been burnt so many times by parents putting kids on the waiting list. They used to be €50 just to get on the waiting list themselves as well. But we've been burnt so many times by parents putting their kids on the waiting list and then not taking them off if they don't need it, or we're buying a house in the area and then they don't end up buying a house in the area. But they don't actually update the creches either. So now they're ringing people around and going, okay, well, we've got a space for you. And you would think it would be as simple as, okay, well, you no longer need to go to the next person. But now they're getting a bitter taste in their mouth. So they're going, well, how can we prevent this from happening in future? Mm. So they're raising their prices.
Yeah. It's a vicious circle. So and
it really is.
Yeah. You see, and with a place like Ballincollig expanding in size, much needed housing, it's only going to get worse.
Oh, 100%. And it's not just Balland colleague, PJ. I've been ringing around because I'm just outside. I'm in Ovens. So I've been ringing Balland colleague. I've been ringing Ovens. I've been ringing Carchford, McCroon. Forgive me if I pronounce it wrong, but Clodove.
Good attempt, Sarah. Good attempt. Clodove, yeah.
I've been ringing all around. It's not just Balland colleague. Everybody's giving me the same thing. I've even gone as far as Cross Barry, like towards Waterfall side.
And where do you live?
I'm in Ovens.
You'd be putting a fine run on yourself in the mornings.
Exactly. And I work in the city. So now I'm looking at places that potentially have availability where I'd be going away from the city only to backtrack to go for work. And now you're sitting in a position of going, do I go back to work? Can I afford to go back to work? Yeah. Because just granted, you're putting down your kids on childcare fees and then you're paying for your childcare. That's your entire salary gone on childcare if you've got one kid, two kids. How do you afford to put them in childcare and work at the same time?
Yeah.
So you're left in the position of, do I do this or do I just stay at home?
Yeah. There are people who would say, Sarah, well, stay at home, mind your children.
Yeah. But then at the end of the day, can you afford that as a family to stay at home?
Well, if all of your salary is going on childcare.
Well, yeah, but then if you're a single parent on your own, how do you manage to be at home with your kids and bring in money so that you can feed them?
Yeah, it's a fair point.
Like, that's the reality. Like, I mean, I'm blessed. I've got my husband who earns really nicely and we can afford for it to be in the situation where if we are stuck, I can afford a few months where I don't have to work. But not all families are in that position.
No. In fact, most of them aren't.
Exactly. So how do you go? Like, and then there's also people like myself, we've moved to the country, but we've got no family. Yeah. Who do you depend on when you're really stuck? If you've got family, it takes a village to raise a kid. What do you do when your village is miles and miles away?
Excellently put. Where are you actually from, Sarah?
I'm from South Africa.
And you're here long?
Going on 6 years now. Yeah. So it's, and I know I'm not the only one in this position, and I'm guarantee you there's people in positions that are far worse than I am.
Mm.
But I mean, what do you do when you don't know where to turn? Every way you turn and you're getting told, sorry, your waiting list is 2026, 2027 from some people even.
Yeah. And the shock that people have, you've actually had the child. Like, you should have phoned us when you got pregnant.
Exactly.
Like, it's getting a bit...
And what about all the surprise babies that you don't plan for, don't know are coming?
Oh, Sarah, listen, I wish you well with it. I appreciate the call. A new caller, first time on the opinion line for Sarah. Thank you.
Cork's 96 FM.